Radio.com, Tyrannosaur from Ireland, Scottish Sovereigns on the Land.ning.com. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. April 19th, 2015. This is Ever Beyond, and yes, we're on Tyrannosaur and on Ever Beyond Radio and on Scottish Sovereigns and on Wolf Spirit Radio, finally, but not least. So, welcome to Ever Beyond. Today, I'm going to have a rest for half an hour, half of the show, because I'm going to play something that I did yesterday. So it's not like I'm not doing any work. I did the work earlier. This is a interview that I took yesterday with some dear friends of mine who I also we collaborate on musical projects and other things. And so what I'm going to present is, it's like a kind of expression of their idea. It'll make sense as it goes along, but it's essentially using the sounds and frequencies that are generated using a bioresonance device to compose music live on the spot for a person or group of people. I think that's what I got from it. Anyway, so here we are. This is Sons of Arca speaking to me yesterday for you today.
He shall be taken without the walls of the city, where pestilence shall hold dominion over all. The water will stink and prove bitter on his tongue. A plague of isolation shall deliver him to decrepitude. Whither shall he fly in such misery? He wants to run. Where can he run? Blood up town and blood down town, blood in the woods and blood in the country. He will crawl like a raving dog, starving with the hunger. But the will therein layeth, which does not die. Who knows the mysteries of the will with its vigor? For God is but a great will pervading all things by nature of its intent.
Sons of Arca, a special interview on Wolf Spirit Radio. And good afternoon, good evening, and good morning if you're in the Antipodeans. We are here live Saturday, the 18th of April, 2015, for a very special interview with the Sons of Arca. So, without any further ado, I'd just like to introduce Mr. Wadada and Mrs. Wadada, Angel One. So, good afternoon, good morning, hello, how are you?
Yes, good evening, a bright and sunny day.
From the north of Scotland.
Hello.
Indeed, so that's lovely. So we're, basically you had a kind of inkling to kind of call me and connect with me and And so you got a kind of topic.
Yesterday, I think it was, I wandered around the house doing nothing in particular, and I thought, I got a message to say, call JP, go on the radio show and talk about this. And so I did. But now, a day later, I seem to have, because I didn't write it down, it seems so clear. I know that roughly what it's all about, but I haven't got all the details like I did have yesterday. But what it is, basically, I've had the name for some time called Sonic Vipassana, which is, if you're familiar with Vipassana meditation, it's like that, only done with sound, sound vibrations.
Interesting.
So there's a whole science behind it, and it's out there, just an inch away from my brain, to bring down into reality. So it involves existing technology anyway, so when I, because I've been thinking about it for a long time, but now the technology, there's a company in Germany that what's his name, Thomas is the managing director,
a guy, Bioresonance,
yes, a German guy that I think you're aware of, JP.
Thomas Fourier.
You had run-ins with him in the past. He runs the
Bioresonance.
What is the name of the company? Well, it's Bioresonance Machine. Basically, the technology has been there for a long time. But what it does is it calculates all the frequencies that you're giving out, and you can feed them back. So that's simply what it does. So they've been using it, the practitioners, doing this for a long time now. But the connection we're going to do is to make that into the old ancient raga systems. So we're playing the ragas in the exact frequency that the particular person that we're dealing with, because this is going to be done in small groups of between one person and say seven or eight, we're going to do little gatherings where this happens, and it's kind of, it's a connection between healers on one end who tend to be clinical, set in like a surgery, even the new age type things, and musicians, where I've been on the other side of the fence, playing rock and roll clubs for 35 years and trying to bring this in at club level, as you know, as nightclub, that is. So it's just bridging that gap, that's all it is.
Well, it's interesting you're talking about the trying to do healing things at nightclubs, which of course is something that I was doing in the late 80s and early 90s, you know, sort of in parallel with what you were doing up in Manchester. I was down in London, and we were putting on clubs and events that were, you know, we had it was a bit like a kind of indoor festival, but like a healing festival, but with a gig as well. We put those on at the Full Moons because we knew we could get people coming out.
Yeah. In fact, I don't think I told you, but last week, Simon, your friend Simon Spohr, mm-hmm. put on an event at the Findon Foundation.
Yes, he did.
People are, you know, listening to this from other parts of Scotland will know that, but if you're out of Scotland, Findon Foundation is like a spiritual centre that was set up in, when was it? 50s, was it?
In the early 60s.
Anyway, so we did a thing there at the... I did a four-hour set playing the music with sitar on the top. But this, you know, this wasn't... I didn't do the system I'm talking about now. That was more they booked me for the ambient event. And...
The Groove Garden.
Yeah, it was called the Groove Garden, and there was lots of healers doing treatments all around us. So it's strange, you know, because I mean, these things just happen immediately. You think, oh, healing, da da. A minute later, you're actually doing it. Things are happening so fast now.
It's a manifestation of things, isn't it?
Moments
of manifestation.
Yeah.
I seem to have manifested a mic issue.
This one.
Can you very gently tap that mic, please? Your mic.
This one?
Yeah. Yeah, that's not... That's not nothing's coming out there. Try again. Yeah. Can you fiddle with the mic lead? Ah, yes, one of those mic leads, I bet. Nope. No, it's not going on at all.
Hello?
No.
Do you want this one?
That's, yeah, because I'm hearing all this ambient noise. I'm realising that it's all coming from your...
Shall I put this in between us? Without
Yeah, just put it in the mic.
Or give him the mic.
Let's put it between him.
Interesting. Los Angeles. So
there's
American listeners.
So we're going out live at the moment, yeah?
Yeah, we are live.
Well, just apologising for all this.
But we can get a...
Have I got to say all that again?
No. We could... What's happening? Let's try...
That's very interesting, actually.
It's very interesting because I think this is the second interview I've done with JP, and every time I arrive I seem to have put out the equipment.
Yeah, everything breaks.
Yes.
Whenever you arrive.
That's what happened on the last session.
Yeah. Maybe it's this cable.
Can we just use the one?
Yeah, we'll just use the one. I'll pop that there. It might cut in somewhere from the... Okay, and like I said, this is the whole stuff. So yeah, I'm going to record a pot. This we're going out on mono,
right?
But I'm going to record in stereo. This, you see.
Right. Well, this is very boring. Hang on, I'm just going to scoop.
Pick up
scoop forward a bit.
Back up.
Okay.
But
Wadada.
Wadada. Wadada. Wadidi. Wadidi. Anyway, so
Wadada.
Whack up.
Okay.
But
Wadada.
Sorry, it's gone a bit crazy. Alright, here we go.
Wadidi. Anyway, so we're now running in stereo and broadcasting in mono, but recording in stereo. So welcome once again to Wall Spirit Radio. And so you were talking... Do you want to give us a quick summary of what you were talking about in terms of the sonic vipassana? Is that
vipassana?
Right?
Yeah,
Angela would do that. You've heard.
Wow. Sonic vipassana. Michael Wadada has been given guidance to use this as the next step in his musical journey and evolution for the helping of humanity and his mission. Yeah. So sonic sound, vibration, vipassana, meaning meditation and mindfulness. The idea of bringing music into a way of expression, be it entertainment and healing, on that concept.
Yeah.
So that's where we're headed. And a couple of days ago, he was in the our play studio, and got very strong guidance to come and speak with yourself, JP, and share this information. He would call a download, and of course didn't write things down, but just absorb the knowledge, and just trusting that when he was in an environment to share it, it will reappear.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we're here today, and just speaking a little bit about the back history. Of with Sons of Arca, trying to bring in a higher consciousness through music and playing in nightclubs, playing in raves, playing in festivals, over the last 30 plus years that he's been doing it, and gathering hundreds of musicians along the path. So now it's rather than just it's like doing it but with more awareness. So playing the music, sharing the music, going on these vibrational journeys so that you are mindful of what you're doing, rather than the constant assaults of sound on the body. So we're looking at encouraging workshops or online communications, podcasts, etc., so that together we can go on this journey together. And I think the times are right. We are in an evolving consciousness. As a human race, our vibration is evolving. We are changing on a cellular level. We are becoming, you know, the final frontier is literally happening right now. And because of our soul connection with other planets, other consciousness, this is a really important part of our journey. You know.
So, do you want to talk a little bit about the your? I mean, we're very much at the moment into our starseed connections. Our, yeah. You know, my Lyran Pleiadian sort of thing. So, tell us where you come from.
Well, it's been a very for me. My history, my star history, is something which I'm aware of, but it's a very private matter. But I will share certain things with you. My soul consciousness, my soul is not Earth. I'm on Earth. I'm having an Earth experience, bringing my vibration. I would say, yeah, definitely some Pleiadian connection, but I think we're also we were just speaking about this before you asked that question. We feel very much that there's also a dimensional. It's not so much that you're from a place out there, but you can actually be from a different dimensional space
on a different octave, as it were.
Yeah, I mean, what I feel, although I've no connection with any place in particular, I know I'm on a not from this planet, and where I am from is strictly a different dimension and just frequencies, and the languages of communication are the frequencies, are music, you know, the music is the communication, just like the birds will communicate with each other. There aren't any actual spoken words. That's why I always have difficulty with words. That's why I'm a musician, because I play music, and that's why a lot of people play music, even if they don't think that, is because they're communicating with the sound vibrations, even though you don't understand it. But if you start looking at Indian classical structures, raga structures, they are a very ancient scientific way of describing what these frequencies are. You know, it's hard to decipher them now, but if you just play with them, you don't, you know, there's no historical record of exactly what they are, so they're all for interpretation, and that's what we've been doing for so long, 30 years or so, is interpreting these rags. When I say we, mainly the musicians I used to bring over from India that I no longer have to bring. What's up?
What's
happening?
She's kicking the
the recorder.
Trying to kick the equipment.
Kicking the equipment.
Gonna tell people he's actually got it balanced on a boot. Is it any wonder I've kicked it?
I might have to reboot it. Let's put the boots over there. And
the
recorder there. There we go.
So yeah, the formulas within the music, and of course, all great music's been trying to explain this, you know, and that's what we'll continue to do. But like I said, I'm trying to connect this up with more technical, scientific thing at the moment, which will make it more acceptable to the human race that actually need it at this very time, you know.
Mm.
So let's talk now. This is onto my favourite subject, the technology of it. And you've been working with the bioresonance machine. Hang on a second, I just need to secure this cable here. Get that there. So, you'll tell us a little bit about, for the audience, what is a bioresonance machine and what makes this thing particularly work for you in this circumstance?
Well, because the Raga system works on a tonic note, on a drone note, and that is pretty much arbitrary depending on the instrument you use. I play sitar, so I'm like C sharp, F sharp. Other people play different instruments, so the flute is usually around E. But that's basically the structure of the instrument. So, as a sitar player, as I say, I'm stuck in those keys. So this system would be to provide the right tonic note for the person or group of people that you're trying to elevate.
Right, so...
So then it's like not arbitrary, it's a scientific approach. And people can do this by tuning in and thinking, oh, this person needs, you know, Eve here, you know, but this is a scientific way of doing it.
So this is reminiscent on a higher frequency level of the signature sound
work
that I've been doing with like Shari Edwards, and so that uses an analysis of the voice. Now, what the bioresonance machine does is it creates a kind of magnetic pulse that is then tuned. It sends down the line a whole variety of frequencies, and when your body rings, your resistance will change. When it hits a resonance, it can detect a change in the frequency in the resonance of your body as it sends these frequencies up. So it just does a big sweep and sees which ones remain, and then it gives you a readout of those frequencies. And are you then taking that, translating that into audio? Into an audio level frequency, like between and sort of around the bass note of a song. And so, what are you using for the calculations? How are you working?
Well, while I was in Spain, we came across this technology and we had access to it just for the one day. But we haven't started doing it yet. But it's possible to do it. The machines cost about £20,000, so obviously we haven't got one at the moment.
There are.
You can hire them.
Yeah.
You see,
but there are other ways of doing it.
There are, sure.
Like I say, you know, you can use spectral analysis, which you can use very cheap software to do.
Well, maybe this is why I'm here, for you to build me one.
Build it and they will come.
Build it and they will come.
Yes. I was just going to go round to Thomas and say, can I borrow your machine for a little while?
Yeah, we can try that.
I should. Well, whichever comes first.
If it can give you the frequencies... because you can do it by eye, kind of. You can do it. Well, here's the other thing. The other interesting thing is, as a healer, when somebody comes to me and I do a sound frequency analysis of them, afterwards I do a sound frequency analysis of myself, and what I find is that I'm vibrating now, peaking at the frequency that they needed. That's a natural...
You do it through the voices, the analysis?
Basically, I record the voice for about a minute, and then I run it through a software called a spectral analysis, and it gives me peaks and troughs, and you can see where the stresses are. It's not always spot on, because some people are complex. Some people
for sure.
have a whole bunch of reverberation. And this may connect with... All right, so let me just talk about this. Shock. When we receive an impact, we could ring like a bell and allow the reverberations to die off. But what happens is that our bodies tense up and lock into that frequency so that the bell doesn't ring out. Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah, sure.
And that's what causes dis-ease.
Mm.
Because we hold on to that locked on frequency.
Mm.
One of the aims of frequency healing is to be able to unpick that lock and release the vibration. And that can come in dance as well, because some of these vibrations are really quite low. It's like boom, 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 like that.
Well, I mean, you know, this is the kind of places we've been playing at, the psychedelic trance festivals, where they manipulate sound without any knowledge. So it's all random.
So it's detrimental more than healing.
Yeah, I would say so. The people seem to enjoy it, but it, in the long run, I don't think it's... I think it's very addictive. They enjoy it, and then they seem to get hooked on it, that they can't... that they need it all the time. It's like a drug.
Mm. So do you think that's a sort of adrenaline-like thing?
I guess it is. But it is, when I say it's like a drug, also they use certain drugs to go with it at the same time.
It's also purposely engineered to stop the evolving consciousness as well.
Yeah.
Because
I don't know if most people are aware of these... I've said it's pretty common all over the world, isn't it? That kind of dance scene, you know, now. We've been involved in it for a long time, so I've seen how it's evolved from... It's kind of soul music from America into this trance affair that people get hooked on it, and it takes them definitely to another dimension, but it's just a lower dimension, kind of like an astral dimension, which of course is very appealing, because the world is, you know, the general slog of people living in cities, to go to the weekend and go for a trip to the astral.
Yeah, it's a trip.
It's very appealing,
it's an escape,
you know.
Yeah.
But it's not the place to dwell, you know. You should move on once you've seen it.
So
it's a stopping place up the mountain.
in your work, have you been working to rescue people from the astral?
It's a really good question.
It is, yeah. In theory, yeah.
By accident, probably.
By accident, yeah.
By accident. I remember we did a gig in France, and there was a guy who had a powerful experience, and we'd get a letter under the dressing room door, and, you know, and people say, oh, wow, you know, blew my mind, whatever. And I think probably you're right. We've put a chink of light into the... we've opened the doorway into some other experience, took them out of this repetitive astral and shown them a light into something else. So possibly by accident, Jeremy.
We've never professed to do this. We've just go out as the Sons of Arca, a legendary dub band from Manchester, and this is...
Yeah.
They don't bill us as, like, here they come, they're going to change you forever.
They're going to change your astral body, yeah.
Well, I think we do, but we never, as I say, we're never trying to say any particular thing. It's take whatever you want from it.
Yeah, we're all different stages, so...
Because my first mission all that time ago is to bring the Indian music to people, because it's like, in the 60s, people were kind of listening to it, but it seems to be even lost even more so. It hasn't kind of developed like it should do, so I've always want to keep that alive, you know. Most of the great musicians I've worked with are no longer here, and a lot of the great musicians that are the top men, they're just disappearing.
So I mean it's a bit like all the great professions of, like, subtle plaster work and wood artisanship, you know, joinery and carpentry,
exactly.
And, you know, the more subtle, all those are dying away because things are mass-produced in China or in India or somewhere like that, and the great skills are no longer available to, you know, and thus with, you know, as well with music, as part of the great dumbing down of humanity.
Exactly, yeah.
Art on all level. But,
yeah, because in the early years I used to play some really great musicians. They're no longer around, and the ones that are around are not allowed visas to come out of India, because since the 9/11 thing, it's been a clampdown on all, you know, great musicians that could come over.
Really?
You know, this is why I've developed into the sitar player. It was never my mission to play the music. My mission was to bring it together. I was the bass player in the middle, bringing this together with rooting it so people could, you know, understand it at a club level. But I've kind of, because I can't find, there aren't any musicians that play indie music that, you know.
So you've basically become the musical master that you were looking for.
Yeah.
That's the sense.
And the funny thing is, although I know I'm like nowhere, you know, I'm just on the first rung, because it's so complex, it seems to work a little better, because I play it simple. I play the simple version.
Of course.
And it's easier to take.
Because when I did play with some really great musicians, it was just the people I played with, their concept.
The 9/11 thing.
Is.
Sounded like you.
Oh, what? Sorry, did that come out on the speakers?
Yeah.
Alright. Shouldn't come out on the speakers, but.
But that's what I said.
That's the radio stream. I was just checking that you were coming out all right on the radio stream, and you shouldn't have come across the speakers.
Yeah, we heard people chatting away there about. Yeah.
Do you hear that?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's what we've just said going out?
No.
Yeah, there's a delay 2 minutes.
Oh, 2 minute delay. Yeah.
No, that wasn't. We didn't speak about those things.
Yeah, that was.
We did not speak about those things.
We did not speak about this. Anyway, meanwhile,
2 minute delay, just like a.
That's really sweet.
And they use that in case you say anything wrong. I was doing an interview for BBC Radio, BBC Radio Lancashire, and I had something had happened. You know, I don't know what it was exactly. Probably, you know, some big. Catastrophe somewhere, you know, and I was going to say about it on the radio, and Steve Barker, he said, yeah, they won't put it out though, we have a 2 minute delay and it'll get edited out. What was that I was going to say about? Something, you know, like,
Leave those things in the box,
probably something about Ted Heath or you know, Cyril Smith or something or whatever.
Yeah.
Who now we know are exactly the evil people that you were...
That I was going to broadcast over the BBC, that
exactly.
They wouldn't let me.
But they wouldn't let you. So it could have all come out earlier, you know.
Yeah.
Right? Anyway, so we're looking at the sonic vipassana.
Vipassana.
So what is a vipassana, and where can I get one, and is it tasty?
Very tasty. Vipassana is the Buddhist meditation that is all about nothing. It doesn't have any mantras or any visualizations, or it just has...
Total mindfulness.
Mindfulness,
being aware of every moment, every breath, your step, your thinking... And when you're in that total state of meditation, you begin to really have deep insights into the self. That's what Vipassana is.
Mm-hmm. And it's a very old tradition. And I was in India and was going to go to a 10-day silent Vipassana retreat. And I went to Bodh Gaya, to the temple, and said, I met the man who was running it, who was English, actually, Christopher Titmus. And I said, I want to come on the 10-year, but there's a Calcutta music festival.
Yeah.
So I'm torn between the two.
10-day one, not 10 years.
I did say 10 years. No,
yes,
10 days, sorry. Yeah. 10 days.
That's a bit extreme. That's
10 days.
Really
geez.
Hardcore.
So,
I'm going to 10-day silent, 10-year silent.
He said to me, well, why not go to Calcutta and come to my meditation in Devon?
There'll be fewer flies.
He said, you'll enjoy it better. So I did. So I went to Calcutta and then went back to England and went to his 10-day Vipassana retreat. And it was absolutely amazing. It's 10 days of total silence. And you come out and you're on. And
why is 10 days of silence amazing?
Gaia House, it's called. Gaia.
What's amazing about 10 days of silence?
Because... You very rarely get 10 minutes of silence in the real world, in this world. So you just get in touch with the higher self. And it seems to take about 10 days to do it.
I'd say
after 3 days, it's torture. And then you know.
I didn't find that because he sends everybody on these. So he sent his mate Dave on one.
Go, you must go.
God bless him. He's since passed away, and Dave escaped after about 3 days.
They run away to the pub and things.
He sent me, and I didn't like the fact that I was sleeping in a dormitory. I think if I'd have been camping in a tent, it would have been easier. But you do have insights, and I had, you know, an insight there, it's good to have a bit of quiet, but I think you can do it in your own house as well. I think you just cut yourself off for 10 days. I don't think you need to go and sit with a lot of other people. Mm. Although, it's just the discipline if you're there, you know.
Horses, I've not been able to do it in my own house, so I thought...
Yeah, because I never shut up.
Because she never shuts up, that's true. So I've never been able to do it since then. Oh, so I've developed this, which doesn't take as much effort, because the music can...
It's more pleasurable with music, isn't
there,
it?
Yeah. What you're talking about is that there is an access to that same silence within the storm, within the vortex of the music itself.
That's a great way
to get our manifesto from you.
That's
JP.
A great way to put it.
Write that down. That is brilliant. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, finding silence in your vortex. It's about the being present. And like I was saying before in the kitchen, you know, the idea of ascension is now no longer, you know, we foof into nothingness and rise up. It's actually the idea is that we, here on the ground, we bring all of our higher self down into our bodies to be present. You know, so that our higher self isn't, that our emotional body, everything is in a state of presence, and that we can bring our higher energies, our higher bodies, mm-hmm. into, you know, the 10 strands of DNA are our higher selves, and that we bring them down into our body and connect them in. And that's the thing that hasn't happened is the connection, because it's been so difficult to connect into the ground because it's so traumatic here.
But it might be not the right time to do that. Maybe we're on the way out of the body. As soon as we connect to the body, that might be the time to leave it.
Well, the only way through.
I don't believe in ascension with a body. You know, I'm not a Christian, although Jesus is my big hero. I'm no Christian, as in I don't think the body's going to be resurrected.
You're not in a
standardized church. At 64 years old, I don't want it to be, thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah. I could do with a new one.
Yeah, give me a new one.
So, should we at this moment take play a tune, one of the new album? Would you like to put one of those on?
Well, you know...
Or do you want to just continue with your discourse?
Yeah.
I think people...
We'll do some more, and then you know, once Michael's needs to be refreshed, we'll put a tune.
Can I just say one thing, though? I've had this little thing in my head, I should say. We are not... It's just an intuition.
You don't need to lean forward. The mic is set up so that it's picks you all up.
Oh, sorry. I'm just used to singing and seeing a mic go forward. yeah, literally.
Sound check.
I just wanted to say, you know, when we were talking earlier about what Sons of Arca did and higher consciousness, mm-hmm. I've got to say, we are not responsible for anybody's spiritual evolution. We are all each responsible for ourselves. And I think this is the new way, this is the star way, in that we are our own evolved consciousness. We've just got to wake up to the fact all that we want to do with Sons of Arca and Sonic Vipassana is create a kind of like a smorgasbord, for want of a better description, you know, just a feast of sound and pleasure and joy where people can be enabled, but not to be responsible, because I think the old way of all these structured religions where everybody wants to take people's power,
yeah.
it's about enhancing the inner power of people that's what I want to see us doing, enable people in living, you know, bring that life force, that charge, that beauty to flourish, to grow, not to lead and to be another false prophet.
Yeah, well, you don't want to end up with a Jonestown, you know, with the Red Adder town, you know. And everybody drinks the Kool-Aid and sort of kills each other.
Well, yeah, and the CIA manufactured.
That's right, yeah.
But with whirly top place.
But to be able to, as you say, to create this this smorgasbord, I like the word smorgasbord.
I know, it's lovely, isn't it?
Of delights that are, you know, they're out of the ordinary for our regular Mancunian. Actually, probably not so in Manchester, because, you know, there's a lot of Indian people. You know,
Manchester is a real melting pot of cultures, of vibrations, of knowledge. I mean, for me, it was where I went and awakened, you know? Truly, truly it was. My creativity was born there.
Spiritual home.
Yeah, hey. Manchester.
Manchester.
Well, after Liverpool, what do you expect?
Yeah, exactly. Although, from one place, you know.
From one mad city to another. Although that is a very creative place too, you know. So, yeah, so that was just something I just wanted to share. There we are. That's all.
Yeah. So.
You got your juggernaut on your shoulder.
Well, can you explain that? Because it looks like a little smiley face. To me, it looks like a black smiley face. Like
this is Lord Jagannath.
Off the old jam. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Lord Jagannath. Lord of the universe.
Lord of the universe.
Lord
now,
of the dance.
In the... is that anything connected with Shiva?
Oh.
Yeah, they're all connected together. I'm not a Hindu. I don't know. I just... Like you say, smorgasbord.
Yeah.
It was when I was in India, I went all the way for no reason. I don't know why. I went to Puri, which is Jagannath headquarters, a temple in Puri. And they wouldn't let me in because because I wasn't a Hindu.
Wow.
Or a Buddhist. I said, well, I am a Buddhist. He said, yes, but you've got to be an Indian Buddhist. So
Indian Buddhist?
Yeah.
Indian Buddhist.
I need to go and check on the stove to get the...
Shall we just keep talking?
But you just tell us about... I'll be listening.
What do you want to hear?
So tell us about how well, first of all, your sonic vipassana...
Vipassana.
Is this a group event, or is this a single, you know, is this a group of, because...
I see what you're saying.
We've been working on Wolf Spirit Radio with groups. We have one 3 times a week. We do a group healing, and there's a group call, you know, it's like 8 to 10 people on the group, plus the audience, and we merge the morphic field, the morphic resonant field of everybody, their mental field, their ability to co-create, and we direct that at individuals, earthquakes, the planet,
wonderful.
And groups. And this is something that I remember reading about in the Alice Bailey books when I was reading them like 25 years ago. The next kind of healing is not going to be one-on-one, it's going to be group-on-group.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Sure, yeah.
I guess it is.
Yep.
Well, yeah, that's certainly... The fact that you just raised that, JP, is really interesting. That Alice Bailey was saying that group healing was going to be the way forward, because that's exactly what Sonic Vipassana is, we're aiming to do. And we've got it advertised. If anybody's interested, if you go to www.sonsofarka.co.uk, you can check out the website, and there's some information on there. And the idea is that we're going to have a healing house, a healing space, the Sonic Vipassana space, where people will come, and as a group we're going to do different aspects, including sonic meditation, using the bioresonance as well, just so you can work with one-on-one, but also tie in the group energies as well. And certainly using the instrumentation that we've got, the classical Indian music. If anyone's never heard the sitar very close, I mean, you can listen to this music that works with a drone, but if you're actually experiencing it in the space, sorry, it's quite different because its vibration is physical. You can feel it pulsating through you.
And this is not the same as standing next to the bass bin at a reggae gig. This is a different quality because the gourd that the sitar is made from, the sound box of the sitar, is about the same size as a chest cavity or a stomach cavity or a head. It's about the same size as a head, isn't it?
You're right.
And things that have the same size have the same resonance. You know, if you have a bell, you know. And so what your sitar is going to be... And the same with the guitar. If you look at the body of a guitar, the body of a guitar is the same, exactly the same as a human body. You know, the hips and the shoulders and the waist. You know, it's all mirrored there.
Well, it is.
You see, these resonances vibrate our body, which is why when you record something, it's never the same because you're not actually able to capture these enormous ripples of sound that come out of the body of the thing, as opposed to the sound hole, which is where the microphone goes. So with recorded music, you lose an awful lot of its characteristics.
That's right.
So you vibrate with different parts of the body with the different instruments. You know, your reeds, they work on these the tiny sinuses in the head. The bass works obviously in the chest and the stomach and places like that.
And we're going to use the voice as well.
So I mean that group thing is something that I'd like to do on a, because like I said I did it together in a house, but to do it over the internet, I don't know if it'll work, but I'd certainly love to. To try this, you know.
Oh, we have there's a lovely woman, Rachel Ledbetter. She was on my show a few weeks ago, and she sings these what she calls language of light, and it sounds actually a bit like Bulgarian.
Wow.
And the the Bulgarian thing that we were all into a few 25, 30 years ago.
Yeah, I know it.
We were all into the Bulgarian, and it has that kind of otherworldly quality. You okay?
You almost got a third note, haven't you?
Do you need to take a break?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's put on a tune and...
Which tune are you putting on?
Well, you tell me.
Well, I mean, what if you...
You've got a whole new album. It's called All Is Not Lost, but where is it?
Where is it? Well, there's a whole story about this. This is... If people listen to this, this doesn't give a good impression of exactly where I'm coming from, because this is a collaboration between me and a guy called Youth, who's the guy that started The Orb and various other projects. So it's bringing into that what I'm talking about, the psychedelic trance scene, together. So this is like a mishmash of that. But of course, this does appeal to certain people. Mm. In other words, I'm saying this is not my complete creation. Half of it is, the other half is coming from a... pulling from another direction altogether.
What's the first track?
What would you like to have? Pablo's Lament?
Well, the first track.
Mother Tongue.
Yeah.
There we go. That's the relatively short track, isn't it? So let's... it's only 8 minutes and 29 seconds. We'll play a bit of this, but let's take a break, and this is Sons of Arca with Mother Tongue. We'll be right back.
And welcome back to our special with the Sons of Ocker. And here at Wolf Spirit Radio, we were just listening to Mother Tongue from the new Sons of Ocker album, All Is Not Lost, But Where Is It? So, welcome back after the break. How are you doing, Michael?
Yes, fine.
So, we were kind of, more or less, kind of wrapping up, but... do you want to talk a little bit about when you plan to start executing this plan? You don't have to lean forward, you can just...
Yeah, as soon as possible. And we're looking into the bandwidth issue that I was talking about. And there's a place up in the Highlands where we're going to base it from, up in on the Black Isle. So things seem to move along at fast pace, as I was saying, so... anytime soon, watch this space.
So this is an internet project, yeah?
Well, it's going to be both, yeah. I mean, this will be the first time we've done it over the internet, but it seems the way forward than having people travelling all over the world. Of course, it's a lot to do with the frequencies. Can they work over the, you know, over the bandwidth to make sure we get the right frequencies? So obviously to do it live would be the real way forward.
The specificity of it, in that you have a unique frequency, I have a unique frequency. It's not, we don't all live on the 440.
Exactly.
I'm something more like 429. You know, everybody's got their own shade, their own hue. Mm-hmm. And so how does the Vipassana cope with that? Are you using sliding so that you, like, for instance, I might have 440 and 429 and 430, and if I go that'll give those frequencies because I'm shifting up and down. What's the deal with that?
Well, because with the bioresonant machine, you can check this on the person who do it. That's why I'm saying we're going to do it individually. Then you get people's resonance, and you can play back that resonance for the individual people, and then maybe build it up to, you know, a group of people. But I, as I said, I wouldn't do it more than, five or six, seven people.
So, for instance, you'd have to find the tuning for each person in the room, and not everybody will be on the same... You know, some people may be a C-sharp, some people may be a B-flat, but they're not the same... C sharp and B flat. One is C sharp plus 37. One is B flat minus 32.
This is right, and this is why people are out of resonance with each other. But what we're trying to find is the Wang Chung, as they used to say in China, where they had the frequency, and they even had a guy going round ancient China with a bell with that frequency that people were tuned to. And once people started going out of that frequency, that was the breakdown of the Chinese civilization.
And also I heard that was also to do with the addition of the diatonic notes to their original pentatonic scale.
Yeah.
Because they were originally working on the pentatonic scale, and everything, all notes in a pentatonic scale are harmonic with each other. But in the diatonic scale, there is a tritone, which is, there's a three full tone interval between the fourth and the seventh note that causes, it's an internal discord, which some people have blamed for the destruction of the Chinese Empire.
Mm-hmm. And this is the music's been going downhill ever since, in my opinion, with certain periods, you know, Mozart and Beethoven periods coming along to gee it up again. But since then, you know, it's not music doesn't reflect the society. Music brings in the society. So
it,
the very
presence, yeah.
Yeah, the presence, yeah, the state of the music is where we're going. and that's not very enlightening for Mia. And so if I can drag it somewhere up tempo, not up tempo, but up frequency, up spirit, because Indian classical music is a higher, is from the top chakras, whereas the most of the music played nowadays is like root chakras and
root and hip and pelvic. One of the things about Indian music is the subtlety of rhythm. Is like in Western rhythm,
military,
or on a good day. What's that other one?
The factory's going.
Yeah, watch your feet on the mic stand.
Yeah, factory's going faster and faster.
That's right.
Well, there's no
mechanical music.
Yeah.
Whereas with Indian music, the singer will sing something, and then the drummer will drum what the rhythm of what the singer sang.
Mm.
Kind of thing.
And
the music, so when the melody comes out of the singer, the rhythm of the melody is peeled off and transported and carried by the percussion. And the melodies are being also taken by the sitars and so everybody's exploring different parts of the raga as it expresses from the singer.
It's a journey, The raga is a total journey. And this is what we're trying to bring back somehow. And temper that with a bit of science so we're not too left wing, far out on the other side.
And a bit of heavy dub.
Bit of heavy dub to keep it connected to the planet, you know, because that's where we're rooting it at the moment, you know. So you're being right out there. If you can't reach it, you're going to reach it in the first place. Mm. Yep.
But I think the final thing I want to say is it's got to come from heart as well, because I'm not listening to you both talk. A lot of the time I'm lost in the technicality of it, because I'm a very kinesthetic, sensitive, vibrational person. So I come through, I understand by what I feel. So I feel this, I experience this. And I think, you know, the Sonic Vipassana isn't just a kind of technical, analytical breakdown of something. It is going to be open to people who just want to feel warmer, richer, loving energy, and to allow their hearts to sing and to vibrate. Just coming from, I just wanted to say that for anyone who might be listening and getting a little bit lost in the technicality of it.
Absolutely, because it's in the end, it's all about a return to the heart, coming back into the heart, and rooting the heart in the earth. And being able to connect those two, the heart, the head, the earth, and that's how we spiritualize matter.
Yeah, you can't fake it. I think that's the main thing. If you're going to take part in something and it's going to make you feel this bliss, a bliss and a joy and a sense of oneness and knowing, you can't fake that. Because it's everything's how it's feeling within the heart. So I want to take it into more heartfelt.
Yep. So, would you like to share how to, first of all, how to listen to your regular music and where people will learn about the Sonic Vipassana as it develops over the next few months or years?
In website, you mean?
In website.
It's sonsofarca.co.uk.
Can you spell that?
S-U-N-S.
O-F?
A-R-Q-A.
A-R-Q-A. Yes. I just also want to discuss this whole spelling issue, because well, some people say Sons of Arca, some say A-R-K-A, A-R-Q-A, A-R-Q-U-A. What the deal? What's the deal?
Well, I mean, this is before English letters, so therefore where Arca is pronounced Arca. Some people spell it with a K, some with a Q. But if you go to Europe with a Q, they'll say it properly, you know. But in England, they're used to seeing aqua, so they suddenly put a U in it, and it becomes aqua, which is flowing water.
But Arca, Sons of Arca, is basically beings who come from the stars. who bring down knowledge.
Yes, that's it. And in fact, in Arabic, the word arka means wisdom.
Wisdom. Yeah. So, now, it's very interesting. I just want to, now we're coming to the end, I just want to ask you, were you aware of the Bodgaya incident?
I went to Bodgaya. What incident was that?
There was the landing of a ship, a 12th dimensional ship, that landed on Earth and was the place. It was like a kind of dome. The ship was a dome shape, and a very large sort of mothership, thousands of people aboard. And it kind of crashed down, landed, and it was from the 12th dimension.
Well, when was this?
This is maybe 500 million years ago or something like that.
Yeah, it figures, because Bodgaya is just every sect of Buddhism has a temple there.
So the idea is that the beings that were on that ship were incredibly traumatized by stepping off the ship because of the time dilation. You know, people that it would be thousands of years between stepping off and hitting the ground. It was a weird, because they're in dimensional thing.
Sure,
and it caused them a lot, and those who managed to survive this incident just were basically staggering around, sort of, in a daze. And that's who the reptilians took, the Anunnaki took, to modify. And that's when people started modifying. So humans were a very high dimensional being, and they devolved, and then they got modified.
Figures.
And that's how we ended up with who humans are. But this is the noble human origin. I'll give you a thing, but Simon Parkes was talking about that as well.
From Bodgaya, he mentioned Bodgaya.
He talked about this, and then somebody said, have you heard of the Bodgaya incident? And it was on Project Camelot, and now also on bases. I've got them, I'll give you them, I've downloaded them. So I'll give you the interview. It's a 4-hour interview with a woman who basically went to Bodgaya, was waiting to see the Dalai Lama or something, and then the Dalai Lama didn't turn up. And she had this dream experience thing, remembered all this stuff about being from a different place.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was an interesting connection. I'll send you
the thing. It is an amazing place to visit, yeah.
So, with that, Bodgaya, the Sons of Arka, Sonic Vipassana.
Thank you. New project. Started yesterday and blossomed today.
This is the bud. This is the
this space.
Opening bud. Angela and Michael, Angel One and Wadada, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Good night. Yeah.
Let's put another track on.
The John Cooper Clarke one.
The John Cooper Clarke.
Shall I say something about this?
Yeah, say something about this.
John Cooper Clarke is an old friend of mine who's become quite a famous poet in England now. And I wrote this music, he wrote the lyrics to this in 1987, I think it was. And I thought it was apt then, but it's even more apt now if you listen to the words.
Yes.
There's a gap in the middle where it goes into a dance thing, which...
Well, I'm going to try...
Unless you've got the edit.
I've done an edit for you.
Oh, yeah.
That I'm just trying to find. Where did I put it?
So you're just going to...
Yeah.
You're going to...
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, JP did a edit for us, because in the middle of this poem, it moves into this high tempo dance track.
Yes.
And although it's quite good, we'd like to hear the poem in one shot.
Right, so maybe I'll put it in here. Recordings. Ah, here we go. The truth lies therein.
John Cooper Clarke.
Yes, and John Cooper Clarke, I heard today, he's coming up to Inverness.
Is he?
So.
In June.
Oh, right there. That's
all. Known as a comedian, but when he plays with us, he is very serious.
He's a prophet.
A prophet, yeah.
A prophet of our time.
It's the only serious piece he's ever done.
It is true, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, he appears on these TV shows. What's that one called?
Oh, Have I Got News
For You? Have I Got News For You and things like that.
Pizza adverts and things.
And pizza adverts. And sugar, sugar puff.
Right, it's coming, it's coming. Oh, God. There, the truth lies therein. Here we are. And this is the vocals of John Cooper Clarke with them.
He shall be taken without the walls of the city, where pestilence shall hold dominion over all. The water will stink and prove bitter on his tongue. A plague of isolation shall deliver him to decrepitude. Whither shall he fly in such misery? He wants to run. Where can he run? It's blood uptown and blood downtown, blood in the woods and blood in the country. He will crawl like a raving dog, starving with the hunger. But the will therein lieth, which does not die. Who knows the mysteries of the will with its vigor? For God is but a great will pervading all things by nature of its intent. Man does not yield himself to the angels, nor unto death utterly, save only through the weakness of his feeble will. The sky shall vanish, and he shall enter the empire of the Lord, through the silent labyrinth of death to the echoing chambers of paradise, in whose serene opalescence lives the innocent. And goodness lives forever, like the odor of a million flowers and the sense of every spirit who lives therein. Where numberless ranks of angels, draped in feeble robes that hang like golden ethers about each celestial frame. Angels who sing as with one voice the fabulous music of the spheres. Precincts of eternity she reigns, immaculate, in flames of pale blue mystery, her frail features radiant with some extralunar incandescence, the mystic rose, in whose blemishing grace he shall come to know the appalling strangeness of the mercy of God.
action. More excitement. More excitement. More excitement. More excitement. More excitement.
Please join us in the chat room at wowwowwow.wolfspiritradio.com/wolfchat. You'll be able to see and chat with the other listeners. You can make new friends and have discussions about the topics that are being discussed on the show. That's www.wolfspiritradio.com/wolfchat. If you wish to simply donate, we appreciate any donations. They help us pay for the stream servers and the Skype telephone numbers and things like that. All the rest of it is done completely voluntarily by all of our staff and producers. Wolf Spirit Radio. Oh woo, oh woo, oh woo. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hello. So, that was the Sons of Arca. Hmm. So if anybody is interested in spending the last half hour of the show discussing music, the implications of music, please call in. Where's the call-in number? Yes. Hey, Jeremy Slade, go and get the call-in number. Okay, Jeremy. I will go and get the call-in number. Where do I go and get the call? Oh, there. We find the call-in number over there. Okay, play the call-in number. All right, I will. There we are. Call into Wolf Spirit Radio in Britain on 0141 356 4141. That's 0141 356 4141. And in America, 775-773-3431. 775-773-3431. On Skype, it's Wolf Spirit Radio. Welcome to Wolf Spirit Radio. Yeah, yeah. And maybe, yeah, maybe today I'm Jeremy, I don't know why. I'll be JP tomorrow. Yeah, it's been such a week. So, how are we catching up? I imagine that a lot of you have been through some kind of bizarre, perhaps hellacious state in the last few weeks that we all seem to be surfacing from, somehow transformed, like being held underwater for, you know, 10 minutes. Transformed you. or something like that. That we've had a kind of another layer, another renaissance. I've received a lovely little thing. It's so lovely when people send me things. I just love stuff. Thank you so much. And so I just want to thank once again Walt and Nancy for the Shungite monolith. I dreamed it and it appears. It's wonderful. It's got a kind of very slightly glittery side, which is the side that has got tiny little flecks of sparkly somehow in it, which might be the microparticles of silver. But it looks like the monolith, and when Dave Bowman flies into the monolith at the end of 2001, the first thing he says is, "My God, it's full of stars," and as he goes through the vortex. And looking at this thing, it is very much like that. You can kind of disappear down into this inky blackness. It's interesting stuff. Sorry. It's been a long weekend. I may indeed play some more music, unless anybody wants to call in relevant to Sons of Arca, or, you know, music. 432, have I learned anything about, have I got any new musical snippets from recently? Well, apart from Paul McCartney being a Paul McCartney being kind of somehow somebody has put in a fake article into a fake newspaper that's gone viral, and it's completely deniable. But it basically says the story of Paul is dead. But it's interesting. I think it's probably a lot more complicated than even the stories that I've been talking about, which, after all, may just be stories. Anyway, let's have a little bit more from All Is Not Lost. But where is it? Actually, I haven't heard this one. Erasmus Dub, Sons of Arca.
Thank you.
Okay, this is the last one from Sons of Arca's new album. There was one in there. This is the very long one, Jashaka. This is Sadra Yama from the latest album. Okay, thank you very much. This has been a very special presentation. And there's a stereo archive for a change. All right, good night, everybody. Stay tuned for Frank Jordan.
I'm going to go to the hospital.